Numbers 34. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel, and say to them, When you enter the land of Canaan, this is a land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, even the land of Canaan according to its borders. Your southern sector shall extend from the wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom, and your southern border shall extend from the end of the Salt Sea eastward. Then your border shall turn direction from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and continue to Zin, and its termination shall be the south of Kadesh Barnea, and it shall reach Hazardar, and continue to Asmon. And the border shall turn direction from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and its termination shall be at the sea. As for the western border, you shall have the great sea, that is its coastline, this shall be your west border. And this shall be your north border, you shall draw your border line from the great sea to Mount Or. You shall draw a line from Mount Or to the Lebo Hamath, and the termination of the border shall be at Zedad. And the border shall proceed to Ziphron, and its termination shall be at Hazarnon. This shall be your north border. For your eastern border, you shall also draw a line from Hazar Enon to Shepham, and the border shall go down from Shepham to Riblah to the east side of Ain. And the border shall go down and reach the slope of the east side of the Sea of Chinnereth, and the border shall go down to the Jordan, and its termination shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land according to its borders all around. So Moses commanded the sons of Israel, saying, This is a land that you are to apportion by lot among you as a possession, which the Lord has commanded to give to the 9.5 tribes. For the tribe of the sons of Reuben have received theirs according to their fathers' households, and the tribe of the sons of Gad according to their fathers' households, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their possession. The 2.5 tribes have received their possession across the Jordan opposite Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, There are the names of the men who have apportioned the land to you for inheritance, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to apportion the land for inheritance. And these are the names of the men of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of the sons of Simeon, Samuel the son of Ammihud, of the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad the son of Chislon, the tribe of the sons of Dan, a leader, Buki the son of Jogli, the sons of Joseph of the tribe of the sons of Manasseh, a leader, Haniel the son of Ephod, the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, a leader, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan, the tribe of the sons of Zebulun, a leader, Elizaphan, the son of Parnach, the tribe of the sons of Issachar, a leader, Paltiel, the son of Azan, the tribe of the sons of Asher, a leader, Ahihud, the son of Shilomi, and the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, a leader, Pedahel, the son of Ammihud. These are whom the Lord commanded to apportion the inheritance of the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. Amen. Wow, we're slowly getting our way to Deuteronomy. In chapter 34 is basically a greater description of chapter 33. He said that this is a land I'm going to give you. You need to take up lots for the inheritance of this land. And so that's already spoken of. So now chapter 34... God gets very specific about what this land is, and it's hard even now to picture how this is like. But I mean, you're going all the way Kadesh Barnea, all the way to the Dead Sea, moving all to the Sea of Reeds, and so it's basically a huge piece of land that God is giving to the Israelites. You know, a really really interesting fact is the greatest landmass accumulated by the Israelites were during the reign of David and Solomon. So during those times, and that's what the Jewish people, when they think about the Messiah or Messianic times, they know he's a son of David, and they're reminded of these great times. This is when they were the most powerful on the planet, but they were the most powerful in their time as a history of people. And so their recollection to them, messianic times for them, is David. It's going back to the sons of David, when they were under David and Solomon, and they had so much land, but even all their possessions during that time did not fulfill the land that God had given them. Isn't that interesting? And so here's the land that I've given to you. Go occupy it, whatnot. And Israel has never occupied the fullness of the land that God has given to them. And, you know, why? Well, disobedience, sin, rebellion. These things really kept them away from the fullness of God's promises. And I think that gives us a moment to pause a little bit. And just what, I mean, do you ever wonder? I mean, I don't want you to think about regrets and things like that. But man, do you wonder if you have and living out everything that God intended for your life? Like, do you guys understand what I'm saying? Is there a part of you that says, you know what, man, I'm fully living out God's purposes in my life? Now, again, I don't want you to get sad or live in regret, but it's really a call in some ways to go before God. And because now, with that said, the Israelites, the beauty of it is they will come into full possession. We're talking about full redemption is happening. And so that's definitely part of the narrative that goes out. And the reality, you know, brothers and sisters, is that you, as children of God, you deserve to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. It's real simple. The land that God wants you to possess, right, should be yours. And in that same regard, right, we should seek God's face for that end. I'm not just talking about us to be prosperous. I'm not talking about material things and whatnot. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about influence. You know, I'm talking about so many aspects of our life when we talk about the whole idea of salvation. You know, salvation is not just us going to heaven, but the true word of salvation is that every area of our life comes into alignment with God's and is saved in essence. And so we see this really, really kind of sad situation, again, because of sin, because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of foolishness, because of carelessness, and so on and so forth. They never quite got to the fullness. They enjoyed good times, don't get me wrong, but they never really enjoyed everything that God had for them. And then we continue on. So that's one side, you know, something to think through, and I think it's quite a poignant kind of a meditation. And then the next part I want you to see is from verse 13. And so they're going to apportion the land. But notice the language by which God speaks to the sons of Israel. He says there, and actually this language started back in chapter 33. If you remember, he goes there and he says, speak to the sons of Israel. He says, when you cross the Jordan, this is verse 51, this is 33:51. When you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, so on and so forth. Now, notice the language there. He didn't say, if you guys cross the river, when it happens, then you drive out. He didn't say, well, if you drive them out. He says, no, you're going to drive them out. These are words of faith. It's the same when I talk about fasting. Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. In other words, he considered that this is a done deal. And so when he's speaking to the sons of Israel, he's saying, hey, this is a done deal. This land is going to be yours. So he picks that up in verse 13. And so Moses commanded the sons of Israel, this is now 34:13. This is a land that you are to apportion by lot among you as a possession. Now, you can say, well, God, you're really getting ahead of yourself right now. Like, we haven't even crossed the Jordan yet. We haven't met any of these people. And remember, 40 years before, or more precisely, 39 years before, we sent spies out, and they said, these guys are giants. And we look like grasshoppers. Remember, going all the way back to an early part of Numbers. And we haven't even got to that place yet. And already God is talking about, these are basically the 10 leaders that are going to administrate this for all of their people. And so it's like, wow, God, you really got quite ahead of yourself. You know, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. God considers it a done deal, right? The promises of God are yes and amen. It's finished. It is finished. And it's a travesty for us. I mean, I'm not just necessarily into lack faith and those kind of things, but to so much question and doubt God's promises. See, I mean, God, he bypasses all the wars. He bypasses them crossing over. And he says, look, when you get to that place, this is what you want to get done. It's I'm reminded of, if you remember when Pastor Sam Kim was here, and he talked about the raffle that he won, and and God just spoke to him, and he knew, and so he was already thinking about how he was going to use the points, that he's going to win for the raffle at the Marriott. I mean, he knew he was going to win. He was already thinking about, oh, okay, I can take my family and do this, and I can do that. That's faith. I mean, that's how faith works. Think of it this way. It's as if I've already received it. It would be much more prudent if the Israelites won first and then said, okay, let's do this. No, he says, no. It is a foregone conclusion, my sons and daughters of Israel, that you're going to win. It's a foregone conclusion that this is going to be your land. So let's talk about how to divide this land up, from the get-go. That's faith. That's how God wants us to operate. In a simple way, act like you already got it. When God speaks to you, act like you already got it. When I was single, and the Lord really spoke to me very clearly about my future spouse, and that's okay for God to do that. By the way, He does that quite frequently. It's just not okay for you to tell that person before the right time. That's manipulation, okay? But it's perfectly appropriate for God to speak to you. And so when God spoke to me, I basically acted like I was married. Not by like going on vacation with her, what a lot of us sinful people do here in Hong Kong. Not like that, but in my heart, I acted like I was already married. I didn't hang out with other girls, one-on-one. I actually went and bought a ring, and I put on my right hand, because, that's wrong, but my left hand. I had put on my right hand, and this is my Jesus ring, my purity ring. And I just acted like I was married. It was just a really simple thing. And so there's that part of the faith aspect that comes in. Let me show you a Bible verse. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Look what he says. In Mark 11, verse 22 is a great passage on faith. He says, Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Notice he said, don't believe that you're going to receive them. He says, believe that you already have it. That's what I mean. It's a done deal already. It's already finished. So act like you already have it. I'm not talking about pretend, okay? I'm talking about a spiritual reality in our life that you act like that's already mine. That's already mine. I'll give you a good idea. Some of you may be looking for a job right now. God speaks to you. God's going to give you a job. Start acting like you got it already. In other words, don't sleep until noon. Wake up on time. Be ready. be alert, as if you're working. Be productive in what you're doing. Don't wait until you get it in the start date. Start acting like and living out that you have this job, whatever it may be. And it's important. It's a spiritual principle. Act like you already have it. That, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus' definition of faith. And he says, you know, the whole part was about the whole fig tree and whatnot. And he says, hey, just have faith in God. Now, notice, it's not have faith in your faith. For a lot of people, faith is a accumulation of their self-will and their self-drive. That's not what the Bible's saying. He says, have faith in God. In other words, have God's faith. Believe in God. Don't believe in yourself, okay? I mean, love yourself and all that, but don't believe in yourself. Yourself, you're going to fail you. Believe in God. Have faith in God. He will never fail us. He will never leave us. So have faith in this God. And then if you have this faith, he says, you can say to this mountain, you move, and it will be cast into the sea. It's crazy. There was a man that I met, and what's kind of nice is in Korea, but also in Southern Cal, which I'm more familiar with, there are a lot of churches that set up these prayer mountains. And, I mean, just kind of more primitive little places that you can just go anytime, drive up, and spend the night just in prayer. And it's actually quite an awesome place. I used to do that a lot when I was living in Southern Cal. And go up to this place, and I end up meeting this guy who started this prayer mountain. And it's crazy. He was pastoring a church. He felt like God asked him to buy this plot of land, which he did, out in the middle of nowhere. He buys this land, and so in doing that, he splits his time so his church like shrinks like crazy. And so now he's got this prayer mountain. He's running out of money. He's still trying to renovate it. He's doing all these things. And he's getting really desperate, and he's really despairing. So he ends up climbing this hill every day and go to talk with God. And he decides to do this, and he gets to the point where he's in his last ropes. He's totally losing faith. So he goes up to the mountain basically to say goodbye to God. I mean, can you imagine how dramatic this is? Here's this guy who was a pastor. He goes up to Prayer Mountain, and he's basically going to say, God, thank you, but this is not working for me. Goodbye. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving ministry. I'm leaving everything. Just goodbye to you. And while he's standing on the mountain, God speaks to him. And he speaks to him that verse in Luke or in Mark. He says, if you have faith, say to this mountain. And he's just like, what the world? And so he does. He just goes, mountain, move. You know what I mean? He's kind of like started going crazy in his mind. He comes back down, and I don't know if I get this story. So I don't know if it happened that same day or a few days later, but as he's back home, all of a sudden, this car pulls up, this truck pulls up to his prayer mountain. And, you know, there's not too many people come visit him. And as he pulls up to this prayer mountain, these guys get out, and they work for the state, and they're basically building a highway along this route. And so they're building this highway, and they've been doing some geological studies, and they basically found out that the dirt on his land actually is the perfect dirt that they need to build for these highways that they're building. And so he's like, who owns this land? He's like, I do. He says, hey, can we purchase this land from you? You know, and in fact, we just need that hill, that mountain over there. And so this is a true story. I mean, it's crazy, right? So these guys, so he sells them this mountain of dirt. And they literally take this mountain of dirt and they put it towards the sea where they're building this new highway. I mean, it's exactly like Mark that was written. And obviously, they paid him a tremendous amount of money. And I mean, his land was worth nothing, basically. But because this special dirt that they needed, and so much money. I mean, you should go up. His prayer mountain is beautiful. I mean, he did like this Via Dolorosa, you know, up on the steps, and you know, really, you know, built caves, even, you know, grottos that kind of depict that from, you know, Jesus' tomb, and really very well done. One of the best prayer mountains that are out there. And I mean, at the end of his rope, he gets a word from the Lord. And just, I mean, maybe purely out of curiosity, tells a mountain to move to the sea, and it literally happens. It's amazing, right? God's so good. Even, right, because the thing is, even if you have faith like a mustard seed, the guy had no faith. He was going up to say goodbye to God. I mean, that's how much faith he had. It's kind of like, thank you, you know, this is not working out for me, goodbye. Faith like a little mustard seed, and it literally happens. It's amazing. So we don't need to have a lot of faith. We just have to have faith in God, right? Act like you received it. The Israelites, I mean, can you imagine what they're going through when they hear God say, well, this is a land you're going to get, this is a land you're going to get, this is a land you're going to get, and you know, you leader, you think about how you're going to apportion this land out to your people, and so on and so forth. There must be a sense of confusion. There must have been a sense of joy. Whoa, man, we're going to get this land. This is amazing. And there must have been a little sense of terror as well. But isn't all those elements really where faith come from? Right? We're a little confused. We're a little terrified. What? God, you want me to do what? You know, and then there's some joy about, yeah, if this happens, man, this is going to happen. It's pretty amazing, you know. And that's how the Israelites begin to move forward. They had to take a step of faith. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. All you need is a little bit of faith. But in God. And if you do that, now faith is not just believing in our minds. Faith is acting like you've already received it. You just said, it is a part of our will, for sure. It is a submission of our heart. It's volitional surrender. Act like you already got it. If God has spoken to you, in other words, you receive the rhema word from the Lord. Step into God's promises and say, yes, done deal. It is finished. And just live obediently until the promise comes to fruition. If you're being challenged this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the posture that you should be taking going forward.
At your mercy, all that has been in my life up till now belongs to you, for you are still holy. Still holy, even when the darkness surrounds my life. And sovereign, you are still sovereign, even when confusion has blinded my eyes. And Lord, I don't deserve this kind affection. My unbelief has kept me from your touch. I want my life to be a pure reflection of your love. So I come into your chambers and I dance at your feet, Lord. You are my Savior, and I'm at your mercy. And all that has been in my life up till now belongs to you. Belongs to you. Belongs. Still holy.
Let's pray, huh? Let's pray over those very things that God is speaking to you or has spoken to you already, things that you know in your heart. Maybe it's not manifesting in the natural the way you think it should. You know, a job, a baby, a relationship, healing, something that you've been waiting on God for. Let's apply faith in God. Not faith in our ability or faith in ourselves or even faith in our ability to believe, but let's put our faith in God. If God said it, it's done. We just wait for it now. But waiting is not a passive job, it's active. It's seeking, it's praying, it's living holy. And so if this is a struggle for you in some way, just begin to go before God. Make sure He said what He said. And now start living it out. Have faith in God. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray that their faith would really arise during this time as they lean upon God. Let's just cover them right now. Pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for Pastor O and the vision to reality, that God would just continue to move upon them and our partners there. Let's also pray for Japan. I ask God to just cause His Son to be known, God, in the place. And let's lift up Pastor Sophia. She just found an apartment, and So she needs to move in and all those things. So let's just pray for her, her adjustment well into the country. And so let's lift up Cambodia and Japan. Pray for IP well in Cascade, and let's pray for all of our leaders, all of our volunteers, that they would really be led by the Spirit. Pray for protection as they engage God. Let's just ask God's favor over them. Let's cover our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. Let's pray for Pastor Mary and Yiling as they lead, and all the teachers and the kids. Let's pray for the youth group. Let's pray for the staff, particularly Donald, who's kind of in charge right now, covering for Pastor Nate while he's on sabbatical. Let's pray for college ministry as well. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and the teachers, especially as they start working through the transition with Pastor Ricky. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our outreaches going on tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless ministry. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just really give strength to the volunteers as they go out. Pray for Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West House Church tonight. Let's pray that as they talk about do not murder, that there will be a lot of healing, a lot of care for one another tonight. Pray for our retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Benjamin, that God would speak to him, for our community. Just pray over all the logistics and just really ask the presence of God would be upon us, that we'd be really united. also all the churches as we gather together. Let's just pray that if there's people that have yet not signed up yet, that God would really speak to them and really come on board and just join in with what God's doing with us as a community. You know? So just cover the whole retreat. This morning, let's pray for Lighthouse Ministries. This is Pastors Renee and Jennifer. Let's pray that God would just continue to use them. Pray this year that they would focus on developing new leaders. They would set their goal to establish and help build two pioneer churches in the Philippines. And that God would really expand their youth ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Renee and Pastor Jennifer. They're not married. They're two separate couples, okay? But Pastor Renee is a really, really great guy. And so just really lift them up and just ask for God's favor upon their church and especially in their new ministries and their church plans they want to do in the Philippines. So let's cover. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God bless Pastor Renee and Pastor Jennifer. Lord, thank you for Lighthouse Church. Use them, God, especially as they venture off into planting churches in the Philippines. God, we just pray for God's provision and God's favor for them, Lord. Help them develop new leaders, God, and to really expand their youth ministry and that everything they put their hands to, Lord, that you would come and guide and protect. Thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, of your promises, God, that we ought to operate in faith, Lord, that we ought to believe that we've already received them, God. And then it says, and then you'll do it. And so, Lord, teach us what it means to walk in faith, God. Not faith in our own abilities, not faith in our ability to believe, but faith in God, in who you are, Lord. You're good. You're powerful. And so we put our faith and trust in you, Lord. And so help us, God. Watch over us today as we live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.